I want to start us off with a picture this morning. And this is a picture of four men who are very confident, I would say. Really sure of themselves and what they're doing. So what are they up to? Well, this is, we don't know the exact year, but it's probably in the 1850s. And they feel really cutting edge, because what they are showing off right now is that guy with the giant knife-looking thing. That is the surgeon who, in that full, like, wool suit, is about to chop off that guy's foot. And the guy standing right next to him is like, I'm going to hold the instruments, right? It's like the nurse assistant guy. And then the other guy over here, this is what they're taking a picture about, that they're like, man, we're cutting edge. They have, I don't, it's not chloroform, but whatever it is back then, they figured out, like, okay, we're going to soak a rag in this, we're going to put it up to your face, and we're put together enough, we're going to watch your pulse so we don't kill you, and we'll just kind of try to keep you under while we chop off your foot. And I said four really confident people, because even though one of them's unconscious, he had enough faith in this whole thing to say, like, I'm coming to you guys. Knock me out. And I mean, it doesn't get more faith than like a cut off my foot. I mean, that he's walking the walk, right? Like he's not just talking about it, right? Like he's confident. Now all of us look at that, and even though these four people think they're so right about how to do something, I mean, all of us are terrified, right? We're like, if we ever go back in time, like we're not gonna get hurt, right? Like we're 1850s, huh? Here's something else about, you guys probably already know this about surgeries back then, but that guy in the full suit, like that's the sort of outfits surgeons would wear. And they would not just do one surgery, right? It's like, I'm going to saw this surgery and I'm going to all covered in whatever, go to the next person, right? So these four people that are so confident, I want us to look at ourselves and think, like, am I like that? Like, would I get up in front of people and take a picture of how advanced I am, right? Of how much I know how to do things. Because a writer, probably about 10 years before this, there's a guy in Hungary that was in charge of a delivery ward in a hospital. And there were so many deaths of so many babies. He had this crazy idea that he was going to make all of his surgeons wash their hands before they did anything with the babies. And so, and like remarkably, right, like the death rate of the babies like went like plummeted in that hospital. But that was the 1840s, and this guy could not convince anybody else in the medical community that they should start washing their hands before they operate on people, before they deliver babies, when they go from one baby delivery to the next. Because the doctors back then felt like, we don't need to do that. And like, who are you to tell us to do that? And you don't have any proof of what you're talking about other than some of these stats. And so there's these guys walking around super confident, just doing horrible stuff, right? Like not knowing what they're doing. We're going to be reading a passage today where Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit has this role of proving people wrong. And we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about other people, which is always dangerous, but I thought we should open up with a self-check of like, am I more like these four guys who would not listen to the hand-washing thing? Like if somebody came in today and said, you're wrong in this way, and what you've been doing is wrong, and what you're so confident about is wrong, would you have any openness to being wrong and actually changing, doing something that felt humble, that felt like a waste of time? It's scary kind of to look at it, right? Like it's scary that people really did this stuff. And then it begs the question, like, what am I wrong about, right? So as we read this passage, Jesus is going to describe the Holy Spirit proving people wrong, but he's going to be talking about the world. And there's some big passages in the book of John that talks about the world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, right, that he gave his one and only son. We were just reading recently in chapter 15 about the world hating people who follow Jesus. But the world typically gets at this idea of everybody that needs Jesus, and sometimes Jesus is using it as this group that don't believe in him or don't follow him, right? So if you've got a Bible, please open up to John. I was meeting with a few guys earlier today. They didn't have Bibles. And so if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to get you one at church. And if there's one in the pew right in front of you and you like the look of it, like, you can have it, right? And if you want something different, like, we'll figure it out. But if you, all we ask is that you read it. Like, if you take it, do a little bit of reading with it, right? So John chapter 16, verse 8 is where we're going to be. And if you can't find it, there's a table of contents right at the front. Your neighbor can help you as well. I'm going to pray a simple prayer, but it's always a good idea to pray before you read the Bible, right? We want Jesus to come and teach us through the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Jesus, that surgeon did not know he was wrong. And unfortunately, myself and probably all of us in the room, we're wrong about something that we don't even know we're wrong about. Jesus, help us to listen to you today. And tell us whatever you want to tell us. We trust you. Amen. So John chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus says when he, if you're here last week, you know who that he is. It's the advocate or the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Jesus is how Paul describes him in Philippians, right? It's this idea of God, God's Spirit, who's come and lives inside each person who believes Jesus, right? Verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will prove the world to be in the wrong. Some translations will say convict. So just like if you get convicted of a crime, there's this idea of like you were wrong. And it's like, boom, stamped, right? Like you did something wrong. This is this idea of when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. So when Jesus himself is describing the Holy Spirit's role, it's worth it to pay attention, right? This is our most powerful blessing that God has given us, is our connection with the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus is going to tell us, what does he do? We want to pay attention. He says he's going to prove the world wrong in three ways: sin, righteousness, and judgment. So then he's going to explain it to us in verse 9 about sin, because people do not believe in me. So there's lots of people in the world, not just in this room, not just the folks going to NA meetings or AA meetings. Lots of people in the world feel like I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. I'm doing something I wish I wasn't doing. I'm doing something I'm ashamed of. I'm doing something I wish I could get free of, right? There's a lot of people that look at something in their life and they say, like, that's not a good thing that I did. But in the world, either they think, nah, like, just the way it is. I'm never going to be better. They're hopeless, right? Which I would say is like maybe one of the principal sins that Jesus falls under, right? This hopelessness, right? It's very dark to be hopeless, right? But then there's this other thought of, I'm going to try to fix myself, right? You go to any bookstore or listen to podcasts or just talk to other people, and there's all sorts of theories about here's how to fix yourself, right? So you can eat the way that you wish you ate or do this or that thing that you wish you could do, right? The Holy Spirit's going to prove people wrong when it comes to stop doing the things that are wrong. It's primarily not about you just got to find the right way to try harder or the right strategy. The very first thing out of the gate is, do you believe in Jesus? And belief, when John says belief, it's kind of rolled in this idea of like, you believe it with your mind, but you trust it with your feet, right? Like when John says belief, that's what he's getting at, right? That you have life out of what you believe. Like you do stuff in response to what you believe. Like the guy on the table, like, believed this surgery is going to be better for me. So he went in and did it, right? Like that was his belief, and it shows out from what he did, right? So the Holy Spirit's going to show people the thing you need to do to start getting freedom from sin is to believe in Jesus. Like, people are wrong about how to fix themselves. And like, the Holy Spirit has the job of showing them that they're wrong. It's not that we don't have any part to play in giving our testimony or something like Jesus was talking about earlier, but at the end of the day, like, you're not going to convince somebody they're wrong. You can open up the conversation, but Jesus has to come in and say through the Holy Spirit, like, they need me to be right. Now, I'm not going to spend a long time on this today, but it's an open conversation you can always have with us here at Maywood. If you're here and you're like, I haven't really believed in Jesus. I haven't really said to Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I believe I can't fix myself, but I believe Jesus can fix me. There's no day of the week at Maywood where we don't want to respond to that, right? Where we don't want to say, like, let's have a conversation to get right. So I'm not going to manipulate with a big time frame or something. Like, you know, do you want it or do you not? Like, do you want Jesus in your life like he hasn't been before or not? So if you do, somebody can have a conversation with you right now about it. So I need you to raise your hand, and we're going to have that conversation. Somebody is. So anybody say, like, today, I want to get right by believing in Jesus for the first time. Yeah, so we got a lady right here. So I need, yeah, that's praise God. So Becca, who's right here in the second row. Becca, could you guys go talk? Could you raise your hand one more time for me, ma'am? So Becca's going to come and chat with you. You've got the coffee area across the hall or the prayer room. And Becca will talk you through, like, how do we have that relationship? What do we do? And again, I'm not trying to draw this out and get a whole bunch of people to say yes. It's just if you're in the room, I don't want to leave you out. So anybody else say yes, I want to do that. So here's the deal. You guys have all heard the sermon to this point, and you all know, like, Jake's not Billy Graham, right? Like, this isn't, like, the best thing ever. But what just happened? The Holy Spirit talked to that lady about she needs to make a move. Like, that's what we're looking for as Christians, is, like, opening the door, and if the Holy Spirit's moved, the Holy Spirit's moved. Like, we don't need to manufacture it. We need to open the door to say, here's the truth. Does anybody want to respond? And if they do, like, we need to, like, Becca's taking care of it, right? Like, Becca's going to walk through things with that lady, right? Let's stop and pray. Jesus, I thank you for this woman who's responded. I thank you for Becca, and we pray. And just thank you, Jesus, that new life is possible in you. I thank you that you do things we could never do. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So here's the next thing. This next one really hung me up for a long time. This next one's where Jesus kind of puts it back into us. If you're in the room, I'm hoping, like, you know Jesus. You're following him, right? So verse 10 here, Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to convict the world about righteousness because I'm going to the Father, where you, talking about the disciples, maybe talking about all of us in the whole world, where you can see me no longer. This one confused me for a long time, but here's what Jesus taught me, a very humbling lesson. I've preached about it before, so I won't tell it again, but about me puking on a date and all sorts of craziness, right? So there was a story there. If you haven't heard it, I can tell you later. But the point of the story was that Jesus sets the bar for what is right. Not your big brother, not that guy you watch on YouTube, not the preacher somewhere, not your mom. So there's stuff that you could go to anybody in Western Independence and tell them a whole sob story, and they'd pat you on the back and say, you're such a good person. And the Holy Spirit would still tell you, no, Jake, you're wrong. And that was what my story was about, you know, is a thing. And that's, we probably all got these things in life where nobody else would say to us, you're wrong. But Jesus sets the bar of perfection. Jesus sets the bar of what's right and what's not. And we can't see it without the Holy Spirit's help. I mean, that's what that verse is saying. It's not like you can just get on a plane and fly to Jerusalem this afternoon and go look at Jesus and see how he handles his lunch, you know, and whether he prays before lunch or not, and what should I do, you know? You can't just go look right at him for exactly what to do with who should be your roommate or whatever, right? There's guidance through the Bible for sure. And if you're ignoring the basic commands of the Bible, like, you're not really listening to the Holy Spirit, right? But if there's a lot of stuff where you get into it and you're like, I'm not sure what to do. I'm actually not sure what's right. I've looked in the Bible and I still don't know exactly what to do. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to set the bar. He's going to tell us, here's what's right. Here's the right thing to say. He's going to tell you at times to go apologize to somebody, and you're going to think, like, I'm not wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. They're the jerk. And the Holy Spirit's going to show you, if you'll listen, no, Jake, I've had this experience a lot. Like, you are wrong. And here's how you're wrong. And here's what you need to apologize for, right? It's typically pretty short and pretty piercing. Like, oh, you know, like it hurts, right? Because nobody else talks to me that way, right? Some people are mean to me. Lots of people are polite, right? But nobody talks like the Holy Spirit does, of just like, ugh, like so true, right? And like you either want to run away from it or change. Like there's really no other option. Like you can't just like hang around and ignore it, right? So some of us are in the room and we're like, I really want to do that. I want to hear from the Holy Spirit about how to do better, right? I'm going to get to a way to do that first, but I want to finish out our passage. Verse 11. The Holy Spirit's going to convict the world about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The prince of this world, Satan, that's another way to describe Satan, evil, has a lot of sway in the way the world works today. There's a bunch of stuff happening in America and whatever other country you wanted to call out. Every single place in the whole world, there's evil stuff going on. There's evil systems set up. Ambition gets lifted up as if it's like a virtue, when it's like there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that's against this like selfish ambition, right? But if you hang around in our culture, we like those are our heroes, right? Like the super ambitious. Not the servants, right? Not the people that are humble. It's the people that brag about themselves and try to push everybody else down and win. Those are the ones we celebrate. There's a lot of evil stuff, right? But the Holy Spirit's going to come to people and say, like, this way that you're following in the world, it's the wrong way. And it happens. Some of you guys have had these rock bottom moments where you realize, like, I've tried and tried and tried to win in the way I was told to win, and now I see that that was all junk. Like, some of you got what you were trying to get, and that's when you realize, like, this was a lie. That's the Holy Spirit showing you, like, the way this world works isn't the right way. And there's a judgment coming. Like, Jesus is going to show up and say, like, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. And it's not going to fit with any world system, right? So for us that are in the room here today, I want to tell you a couple more stories here that I think it's for the folks in the room that believe in Jesus, right? But you want to go further. You're saying, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not all right, right? Like, I'm not like those surgeons. I don't have it all figured out. Here's my first story for you. If you do this kind of night road, this is what a lot of streets in Independence look like if you're riding a bicycle at night, right? Like, I do that some, and street lights just weren't made for bicycles, right? I mean, like, they don't light up the road well enough. And if you're on a bicycle, unlike a car, like, potholes are different when you're on a bicycle, right? Like, it's not just like a boom, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, like, if I do that 50 times, maybe I'll mess up my alignment or something. On a bike, like, things can go worse a lot faster with a pothole. So when you're out there at night riding down a hill, even if you've ridden that road a bunch in the day, you're a lot more focused on, like, what am I about to hit? And if you don't have any sort of light on your bike, like, you don't know, really. Like, you're just going, right? So normally when I'm riding my bike, I have this flashlight. It's the most expensive flashlight I've ever bought in my life. It's the brightest flashlight I've ever bought, right? But it straps onto my little handlebar, ride around with it. Well, it's super bright, and it lights just what's right in front of me. And it just keeps me from hitting potholes, right? It doesn't light up all of Independence, right? It just lights up right in front of me. And when I was thinking about that middle part there, of the Holy Spirit's going to convict us when we're wrong because Jesus has gone to the Father where we can see him no more, he's going to show us what's right. What I've found in my experience is the Holy Spirit doesn't come as like a download and say like, oh, here's everything, Jake, that you ever need to know. And here now you can just tell everybody else who's wrong too, right? Like that's not how the Holy Spirit tells me what's right and wrong. Typically, the Holy Spirit will show up, light up what's right in front of me. Here's the pothole that you're about to hit because you're on the wrong trajectory and you need to move. And that's about as much light as the Holy Spirit gives me a lot of times, right? Frank Shamiro, a friend of mine who wrote a book, he talked about headlights don't lead us very far, but they light up enough to make it the whole way home, right? There's this idea of headlights don't light up the whole path in the whole town, or the whole state, but they light up what's right ahead of you, and if you pay attention, you can make it the whole way, right? The Holy Spirit typically, sometimes he'll tell you stuff about 5 years out or whatever, but most of what he wants to tell you this week has to do with this immediate moment. If you get today right, you'll be ready for whatever Jesus wants you to do tomorrow. For the most part, we don't need to know the master plan, right? We just need to be obedient today, and we'll be in the right position. So how do you do this? How do you have a little headlight on your bicycle of life, right? How do you actually do it? Well, that thing we did during the offering, that's the best way I've found to figure out what's the Holy Spirit telling me about how I'm wrong. If I will tell him about my last day, sometimes people get this weird idea, I'm trying to be more mature, so I'm going to talk about myself less in prayer. I don't actually think that's the right path. I think that's like a two-year-old thinking they're 62 or something, right? I don't think any of us are so mature that we don't need to talk about ourselves in prayer. It's okay. We need to talk about where we're at, what we're doing, because we need God's input on what we're doing. And so when you tell God, here's what made me mad yesterday, it's a whole different conversation than when you're talking to your spouse or your buddy. Because pretty quickly, you start to see how you're wrong when you tell Jesus what you're mad about. You're like, oh, well, I should at least be more grateful, right? That comes up pretty fast, right? And a lot of times, the thing I'm mad about, I realize, I should be a lot more forgiving or whatever. Just the conversation, just talking to God about it, a lot of times I quickly see how I'm wrong. But especially if I'll be silent for even 10 seconds after I tell God why I've been mad in the last day, a lot of times a new thought will pop into my head. And that's the Holy Spirit. When you tell God about something that felt good in the last 24 hours, sometimes stuff that feels bad is overtly sinful, but sometimes it's good stuff. But a lot of times we still need Jesus' help. You see, what's righteous, it's not all about avoiding evil. Jesus did a lot of things that were good and were meant to be enjoyed and to savor. And some of us have so many blessings in our lives, and we're ignoring all the blessings because we're focused on a few negatives. But if you would just stop and say, Jesus, here's what something I enjoyed yesterday, and you tell him about it, and then you listen. The Holy Spirit will give you insight about that good stuff too, right? And it could be as simple as writing somebody a thank you card after you're done praying. But that stuff can have ripple effects on your life. That's the way Jesus works sometimes. So if you're here today and you want to do this sort of thing, just like I charge up this little light every so often because it doesn't help if I don't charge it up, what you would do to open up to the Holy Spirit is some point during your day, maybe right before you go to bed, you tell God, Jesus, here's what I got stressed about, and you tell him about it, and then you listen for however long you want to listen, but you do actually try to listen. Jesus, here's something I got angry about, and then you listen. Jesus, here's something that I enjoyed, and then you listen. It'll open you up to the Holy Spirit, right? One little warning on that before I get to my last point. I take this thing off my bike when I lock it up outside the church, I lock it up anywhere, because the flashlights are the things that people in Western Independence want to steal. And, I can leave my helmet out there for weeks, right? Nobody's stealing a helmet, right? But the light, that's what people want to steal, right? So here's the deal. I have to take it off and put it in my pocket, right? I got to kind of make sure I put it back on. There's been times where I forget to put it back on, and then I'm riding around in the dark, right? The reality is, if you decided right now, I want to do a prayer of review, something in your life is going to try to steal that. And it might not be some super evil force. It might just be your two-year-old is going to throw a huge fit the moment you sit down to pray, right? I'm just telling you, be ready that moment is, there's going to be an attempt to steal that moment. Have a plan B of, okay, if my time with Jesus gets interrupted, here's how I'm going to do it a second time, right? Here's my plan B is if it gets interrupted the first time, I'm going to try again at lunch. Or if it gets interrupted right before I go to sleep, I'm just going to not go to sleep until I do it, right? Or whatever it might be. Because I'm telling you, these little like quiet times with God, if you decided to do it, that's like the top of the list for Satan to mess up for you this week. And it happens so subtly. Like the listening to Jesus stuff, we don't even notice when it gets stolen from us, right? But that's the thing that'll get stolen out of your life this week more than anything else, right? That's the thing to have a plan to protect. To say, like, I'm going to ask my wife to help me for 10 minutes. Have, you know, some sort of protection plan of, like, how do I really get this time with Jesus? Last thought. This one's, if some of you are here today and you're like, man, this, I need something deeper. I'm further along. Congratulations that you're further along. I still need to work on all this stuff. But I do have something that's a warning for people that are really trying to do it with Jesus. I have a warning. You remember that Hungarian guy? I didn't say his name earlier, but I'm going to put it up on the screen. And I'm going to mispronounce it probably. That's why I've got it on the screen. Hopefully it's one more slide. Ignatius Simoes, I don't know how to say it. It's Hungarian. He's a professor from the 1800s. I don't know how to say his name. This guy in the 1840s was responsible for some little hospital or maybe big hospital and all the babies there. And he initiated this hand washing thing. And he realized this works. And he's saving a lot of lives. And then he tried to convince everybody else to do it, and nobody would do it. And about 15 years or so after that, he had a mental breakdown. Some of his medical, people around him in the medical community decided, like, you had a huge breakdown. They put him in an insane asylum. Within a couple weeks, the guards had beat him up, and he got a wound. And this is stuff, like whatever you're watching on Netflix, like doesn't have this much drama and craziness. This guy, he gets a wound, it gets gangrene, which is like an infection, and he dies in the insane asylum 15 years or so after he's been trying to push hand washing and trying to save lives through it. He got so stressed out trying to prove the world wrong that it broke him in a mental way. And then the very thing he was trying to get corrected, like that problem, like killed him physically. Like it's pretty messed up and like terrible, right? It's like this huge tragedy. Right around the same time, like 1860s or something, Louis Pasteur and other people show up. They prove some more stuff. And like suddenly everyone's like, oh yeah, that's right. And like people start washing hands with, you know, it takes a little while, but it doesn't take that much longer. This guy died, I think it's like his late 40s or something. If you try to change the world because you do see people suffering and you do see that people are wrong and they need to change, if you do it without the Holy Spirit's power, if you try to be Jesus in whatever situation you find yourself in and you're not serving Jesus with the Holy Spirit, you're trying to make it get done on your own, like you're headed to a similar path, would be my warning today. Of like trying to be Jesus on your own will break a person. Trying to prove the world, whatever, however you define the world, trying to prove them wrong on your own, it breaks people. And it like broke this guy. I mean, I've just read his Wikipedia. I don't really know him, right? But I mean, like, it seems like, man, this guy really was right. He really cared about a noble thing, and it just ended in tragedy. Like a lot of us in the room, like we didn't get here because we were so right about something and we cared so much and it broke us. Like that's really sad, right? Like he was really trying to do the right thing and it still didn't work. But some of you are in a spot right now where you are trying to do the right thing, and don't make that mistake. It's like trying to prove everybody wrong on your own steam. Invite the Holy Spirit to work and trust that the Holy Spirit's going to be the one that proves people wrong. Like you show up and do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do and you leave the results to the Holy Spirit. I want to pray a blessing over you guys. Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, I pray for every person in this room. I pray for every person watching online. I pray for all of our family that's at family camp right now. Jesus, I pray you bless us with the Holy Spirit, that he would prove us wrong and that we would listen and receive. And Jesus, I pray he would prove other people wrong that we meet with, and that they would receive you and have a new life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.